You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Now we're recording. All right, very good. Welcome to Section 31, episode number 276. I'm Dan Hammond.
I am still Rogue Schindler.
All right. This week is the leftover, a bit from last week's episode where we talked to great time length about Gen Con. We're going to talk a little bit about the animated series. There's an episode that we both watched a while back. We'll get that cut up, and then we can move on to a fresh episode next week. We've got another convention that was attended by one of us, and a tournament that neither of us attended, and a spoiler for a set that neither of us worked on. How's that?
I've played it.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna have to ask you some questions about it because it looks interesting, but there are some points. Well, we'll get to it later. Let's start off. We did have a local event. There were five of us, and by us I mean them, that showed up. Five San Diegans. How's that? And it looks like Johnny went with 13 victory points, was the winner with the big fat Romulan Spock deck.
Which, if you look at it, is not really that big fat.
Or all fat. Right, I'll have to look that up.
I mean, I guess for our meta. Sure. I guess 60 cards is fat for other people's metas, but...
Yeah, you know, if you're gonna face... Well, yeah. It looks like he got a bye, a true tie, a modified win, and a full win. So we didn't lose, but Charlie... spread it out to a true tie, and it looks like he probably lost the coin toss to see who's going to get the bye. That's funny.
Yeah, it looks like a crazy outcome, and then Charlie and Thomas tied and had to go head to head for the tiebreaker. A pretty wild finish for a 5-person tournament, I'd say.
Yeah, it looked like a good time. 4 rounds. That's always good to see, and. Yeah, there's only 2 deck lists posted. Johnny's and Matt Kirk's All Our Yesterday's Enterprise, which is entertaining. Have you noticed that the deck builder comes up a heck of a lot faster than it used to?
It does.
That is.
You know why?
Yep. No, not really.
Okay. Well, 2 reasons. One is that Chris Loban is awesome.
A given, but worth mentioning every once in a while.
That's actually the third reason. But no, a number of months ago, actually back when we just before we released achievements again, we got to upgrade the server space. So it's a little bit faster because of that. But it also, I don't know, it's probably been a while since you've made a deck or had to check, worry about achievements, but the deck builder no longer automatically checks for achievements every time. Which is why it used to load. It takes so long to load because it was like going this one and this one and this one and this one. I can't remember, and so now it will just, you know, whatever you had last time, it comes up. But then if you hit a button, it'll refresh and check again. So
sounds like a smart way of doing it.
It is, that was an adjustment that Chris made in addition to expanding the server. So between the two of those. Yeah, the decks are loading lightning fast now. Mad props to him.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I mean, I feel like we can talk about a deck and not have to fill time before it comes up. yeah, it looks like...
I think we just did. Yeah.
No, that's funny. Matt's deck has a lot of achievements that he was going for. The TNG tough, so all these are strength missions. Wow, all right.
Yeah.
That's tough. And they're all unique in the Lemma file. That's tough, too.
But did he really do strength missions?
Probably not. They're probably that or something else, right?
No. A signal for rescue. That's only strength.
Okay. Yep, that's probably the one he didn't
dual,
do every time.
This is dual. Yeah. Nope, yeah. All of the rest of them are cunning or strength. So.
But, you know, he's got...
You cheat that way, but...
He's got the battleship crew, you know. He's got Data and, you know, Riker's pumping everybody up. And
yeah, they're not weak.
Worf governor guy and Tasha with her phaser. And I'm sure, you know, that's helpful. Mott's probably not helping. Yeah. Neither is Loxana. But Kelly's in there. Sloan's in there. That'll help. All right. Well, okay. I'm not going
out.
To
it's like, oh,
yeah,
going for TNG strength, but I'm not going for TN strength, but I am going for TNG strength. Ah,
yeah. All right. No, I like it. That looked fun. I wonder if anyone was playing the Voyager deck. That there's three unknowns there, which is disappointing. But, you know, the tournament was only day before yesterday, so we'll give him a couple more days before we complain about not entering deck lists, says the guy who probably doesn't have all his deck lists from Gen Con put in yet. But, all right. Well, congrats to Johnny. Did you tell if they played Tribbles afterward?
I did not see a tournament listed, so maybe they got to the end of four rounds and were like, that's it, done.
Yeah. Well,
I know Johnny has been having to do one or the other recently, so if he bailed and then they would have been down to four and maybe if somebody else bailed, then that would have done it.
Yeah, and I couldn't make it down there. I wasn't feeling very well. But, you know, hey, I'm glad that Trek was played. I'm sorry I couldn't make it down. You were out of town, though. You were up in Anaheim again. Yes?
I was. For
doing
the third
what?
Time this year. Not even for the third time this year. The third convention this year. Probably like the fifth or sixth time this year. Caitlin's best friend from high school is an Imagineer for Disney. Disney in general. Based in Disneyland, but she's worked on both parks. And she offered to have us be guests and get us discount tickets for Disney's biannual convention called D23.
Does biannual in this case mean twice a year or every 2 years?
Every 2 years.
Okay.
This is the fourth one, so it's not an old con. And it was very interesting being regular congoers because... you know, it was across the street. It was at the Anaheim Convention Center, so it's right next to Disneyland. They had a lot of Disney employees there working, either working or volunteering. And it was very interesting to see the things that Disney did well because they were similar to a theme park, like lines. And then things that they did very, very poorly because this is not a theme park and they were treating it like one. Like entry. So they had this, you know, you've gone to Comic-Con or any con and you can go into any, you know, most doors and get in. And then when you get, you're in the lobby and you can walk back and forth. And then to get into the convention, you have to go through specific doors and they check your badge and you go in. They had one door to get in the building. They had QR code badges, which were easily counterfeitable, from what I hear, considering I got in by accident on Saturday using my Friday badge, even though they scanned it. And then you all have to go in through the same door to get into the floor, even though it's huge, because
oh, wow.
They want to control your experience, and they don't want you to come in any door. They want you to come in the main grand entrance, like you're on Main Street, and see everything, even though there wasn't really anything to see there. That was where they had a big stage set up and things were happening, but there was vendors all over the place, and oh, man, it was a madhouse, and that's why we showed up for the con that started at 9 o'clock at 11:30, and there were still not one, but two gigantic lines outside waiting to get into the convention.
Is it so, because it's way bigger than this year than it has been in the past, or what?
I honestly don't know. Once inside, I never felt overcrowded, not even like WonderCon crowded, which is about the same venue size. They used about the same amount of space in that convention center. So I don't think it was as big or close to WonderCon, but it was just Disney, so they just had to control everything. Everything was overly controlled, and so you know that meant that some things were awesome, like there were only three rooms and a very few panels, but those panels were very big, and so they were expecting, you know, high anticipation. And so they had an entire, there's a one thing about that's unusual about the Anaheim Convention Center compared to most, is that there's like a sub basement, or there's a basement level.
Is it Hall E, right?
It's Hall E. And it's not really much of a hall because there's so many pillars in the way, so you couldn't really do much down there. Usually there's registration of some kind or something, but they had that entire room set up as overnight line space. So if you wanted to go to one of the panels, or even same-day line space for out, for the hour-long lines, and not only that, instead of using the, what is it called, the arena, which they didn't use at all. I was shocked. But apparently it only seats about 5,000, 5,500 in a stage configuration, whereas they were able to create their own stage. They literally built their own stage from scratch in Hall D.
Sure.
That was configured to set up for 7,500 people, which was directly above Hall E. So literally... they had you split it into three sections. The lines were already configured in three sections. And when it was time to go up, they opened the big rolly doors and they took your line up the escalator and into your seats.
Well, that's really cool. That's very well done.
Which was amazing. It was just like a startling contrast, because that was the first thing we did compared to all the other lines that were just so incredibly hosed. So it was definitely an interesting study in contrasts, just the things that they knew how to do and the things that were odd to them because they weren't, they don't run conventions regularly. And they didn't, I guess, think to bring anybody in to consult on that. You know, the programming was interesting. It was a lot more sterile than a normal convention. It was very much corporate trade show rather than fan presentation.
A lot more industry types, do you think, not in the audience?
I don't think so. That's the thing, is it's exclusively a fan convention. Not exclusively, but it's primarily a fan convention. It is, you know, they had a media section, but it wasn't like they brought in, you know, specifically corporate bigwigs to show this stuff off to them. This was, it's named after and for the Disney Fan Club, and was only 2 years ago. The first two were only for D23 members. And these last two, they've started letting non-D23 members buy tickets. But it was presented, you know, in a very corporate trade show type of way. And it really was kind of painful, especially the first one. You know, it was really cool to see it. We went to the animation panel, which showed all of the Disney Studios, Disney Animation Studio and Pixar, Disney Pixar pictures coming in the next 2 years. So we got to see clips for like 8 movies.
Nice.
And stars, and they talked about some of it, but a lot of the presentation, you know, we were making fun of it at first, but there was a giant teleprompter in the back of the convention center in the hall. And so it was so they would bring out celebrities who were going to be in it, and it was all very, well, I bet you were excited to be in this movie, huh, Jill? Oh, yes, it's been a dream of mine to be in a Disney movie animation princess since I was a child. I remember, blah, 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 blah. But enough about me. Let's look at the clip. And the clips were cool, but it was so bad that Caitlin refused to go to any more panels. Like, she just couldn't handle how canned it was. It was so painful. I braved the next day because that was the major panel. You know, Disney owns everything now, including Star Wars and Marvel. So they had one panel for everything called the live action movie panel, which was kind of staggering. I thought there would be a Marvel panel and a Star Wars or Lucasfilm panel and a Disney panel, but they rolled it all into one, and it was,
how long was that?
It was 2.5 hours. The Disney animation panel was supposed to be 2 hours and lasted 3.
So how long? Oh my. Okay.
That's what they only had like 2 panels in that room a day, and they were hours apart. So, you know, they could go over, I guess. It was kind of weird, but we got to see some really cool stuff. I stuck it out. I got up at 5:30 Saturday morning, to go get in line. I didn't camp out like a lot of people did, but the live action panel was at 10:30 Saturday, and I was hoping, fingers crossed, that the canned bits would be less canned, because it was going to be a bunch of people who are used to doing Comic-Con, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, all these guys are used to going to conventions and dealing with people and talking like they're, you know, not robots. And it did not disappoint. There were bits that were a little painful, especially in the middle, but they did. They opened with Marvel Studios, and then they did Disney live action in the middle, and then they closed with Star Wars, which was smart.
Sure.
You know, they had a little clip from Doctor Strange, not the actual movie, but Benedict Cumberbatch talked about it on the screen, and they had some art. They had cut together some art stills from the storyboards to kind of do a mini trailer. And then Anthony Mackie, who plays Falcon, and Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, showed up for the Civil War panel. They flew them in overnight from Germany, because they're still filming the last week of filming.
Wow.
And they got to get back on the plane that afternoon to fly back and continue filming.
Oh, my.
But they were very fun and a little punchy.
I guess so, yeah.
And I mean, Anthony Mackie is always very excited about everything. He's just so hyped to be in the Marvel Universe. So it's really fun to see a fan in there. And he was excited, and Chris Evans was really giddy, because he's like, oh my God, you guys, the footage is so good. And, you know, he just had no, I don't know if he just didn't have the will to put on the face anymore, but he was just kind of giddy fanboy, which was also very cool. And that footage was amazing. Marvel puts all these Easter eggs in. They put in an Easter egg just for the D23 clip, so that you could see it, and I barely caught it. But at one point, they have a guy locked in a pod-like cell, kind of like they do with Hulk and the Avengers, or Thor and the Avengers, and it's level D, and on the other side it says cell 23.
Nice.
So that was a nice little thing, and the clip was amazing. The movie looks so good, and a lot of action sequences and fun stuff, but easily the funniest part was the end, where they pull Paul Rudd out of a van, where Hawkeye has clearly roofied him and thrown him in the back of a van and kidnapped him, and he's like, and then he gets out, and there's like, you know, Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson and Wanda Maximoff, and he's like, oh my God, you're the Avengers, you're Captain America. He looks at one and says, like, that's Captain America. I know him. I mean, I know who you are too. You're cool, but that's Captain America. He's totally nerding out. It was hilarious. I think he's going to be a great addition to that, that movie, but that carried me through the rest of the Disney stuff. And to get to the Star Wars, which the Star Wars news was disappointingly light, but they did cap it off with the announcement of the 14-acre Star Wars land coming to both Disneyland and Disney World.
Did they make any pronouncement about where the heck they're going to put it?
Yes. They're going to take out Toontown and expand backward. You know, that whole back area. All that backstage area is going to disappear and become part of Star Wars land. And it's going to be fully immersive, by which I mean, like, the shops, and there's going to be a cantina and shops and rides, and all of the cast members are in full costume, makeup, character. So it's always going to be, you know, oh, where'd you fly in from? And, you know, going to get you a, you know, Jerry juice and, you know, some Panther steak.
Well, it should be entertaining. 10 years, maybe? 5 years? How long?
They did not say.
Yeah.
They just announced that it's going to happen. So, you know.
Well, the Cars Land expansion is pretty big and kind of immersive and has a bunch of rides, and that took about, 5 or 6 years? So was it longer than that?
You know, I don't remember. I thought it took less than that. It took, like, 3 years.
Yeah. Okay.
But, this could be a lot more involved.
I would imagine they want to have it as soon as possible, because the movies start coming out, they're going to want everything tied in there, right?
I would assume they want to have it out before episode 9 comes out.
Certainly.
It's supposed to be set on a non-specific or a non-existing yet rim planet. So it's actually supposed to be a location, you know, on your way out into wild space, said Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, as if he had no idea what the hell he was talking about.
Yeah.
which was pretty entertaining.
That's certainly going to change the traffic patterns of the park, isn't it? I mean, because usually everyone runs in and goes left for Indiana Jones or right for Space Mountain and Star Tours, and there's nobody running toward the back of the park, but that's everyone's going to go past.
Yep, straight through the...
Yeah, straight through the heart of everything. Oh, my.
Yeah.
To get to the back there. Well, that's... All right, well, that's entertaining. I look forward to it. It should be fun.
Get on the train and go around.
Sure. That train lets off right there at Toontown.
Yeah.
All right. they're going to have some funny thing where the train goes in to the area and all these panels come in from the wall and, you know, deck it out into something futuristic. And then as it goes back out, the panels come off and it turns into a regular train again.
I was just thinking that. Some kind of transport.
All right. I wonder what they're going to do for Star Tours. Are they going to leave that on the far side of the park? Because that's like as far away from you as you can get.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would expect... my thinking is that because of the nature of Star Tours, you could leave it and set whatever planet that is as a new destination. Like, oh, we're going to go fly to, you know, Star Wars Land planet.
Sure, and then we get sidetracked. Why don't you guys just walk? It'll be faster.
Star Wars Lantooine.
Lantooine. I like it. all right. I'm guessing not much in the way of Star Trek news coming out of D23.
No, all of the Star Trek stuff was ancillary. Like, I saw Chris Pine for one of his other movies, and J.J. Abrams was there.
Yeah.
Eric Bana is trying to kill Chris Pine in that same movie, which is kind of funny. He played Nero.
Yeah. I'm just connecting the dots there. That's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess from the future of Hollywood animation to the past of Hollywood animation. How's that?
Sure.
Shall we talk about the Infinite Vulcan that we've bandied about for about 3 weeks now?
I think so. I don't know if it's much of a tease, but we should definitely...
Well, let's talk about it.
Talk about it before we have to watch it again.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen an episode of the animated series in weeks because of all the cons and not talking about it, so it's been a while. Actually, if you could believe it, my daughter said, hey, are we going to watch another episode of that cartoon, Star Trek? So you can tell it's been a while. If you go to the Memory Alpha page, that picture in the beginning just sums it up. There's a giant Spock who's hunched over looking at a bunch of people down on the ground, standing next to, you know, King Neptune or whoever that is there. Wow. this whole thing from start to finish was just weird.
Yes, agreed.
There's a bunch of people who are plants, you know, intelligent plant people. And I thought, okay, that's interesting, you know, plant, you know, walking around doing stuff, and there's all kind of plant monsters and plant flying plant creatures. And then, you know, we'll get to, look out, here's our boss. Oh, it's a human guy who's really tall. I really felt let down.
How do you know human biology so well? Oh, we have a human here. Yeah. Did we not mention that?
I think you mentioned previously, was this the Walter Koenig episode?
It is, written by Walter Koenig, which is interesting since he didn't get to participate, you know, vocally.
Yeah. This was the only one that he did, right?
It is.
It's too bad, because I would have liked to have seen some other, because this was pretty bad. I really didn't like this at all. There are just so many... I mean, there were some interesting bits, But it just seems so just weird and odd.
It just kind of takes a left turn. The first half doesn't seem to have anything to do with the second half.
Yes. The whole, what is this thing? It's a mystery. And then it turns out to be McCoy's grandpa's weed spray. And what?
It looks like my granddaddy's weed spray still works wonders.
On plants from what? Other planets. And, you know, sure.
The finale is basically a ripoff of Mirror Mirror, yeah. Where it's like, well, how it's another version of Spock. How do we defeat another version of Spock? We make him do logic.
Yeah, and we're gonna leave that Spock behind because, you know, why not? And he's super tall, and sure, we'll never hear from him again, but you know, whatever.
So that means over the entire span of all of Star Trek, there is another Spock, another giant Spock
giant
out there. Spock,
Spock yeah.
2, if you will, going from the other guy's naming convention, doing logic, clone logic.
Yes.
Plant logic?
Plant. He's doing plants work.
That's right. He's helping the plants become not sterile.
There's a green-blooded, green-thumb joke in there somewhere, and I just can't find it. So there's just a lot to hate about this episode. We've rated episodes in the past, and I've rated them pretty high, but I can't give this one more than a star out of 5, because, wow, they were just so much awful. It was just bad.
And they finally try to do the banter and just fail horribly. Why, Mr. Sulu, that was an excellent body throw there against that creature. You should show me that sometime. Oh, but Captain, you can't. It's not just about physical ability. You have to be inscrutable. Why, Mr. Sulu, you're one of the most scrutable men I know. What?
Yeah.
What is that? None of that makes sense.
not at all. It was just awful, front to back.
And it just piling nonsense on top of each other.
I'm not gonna lie. I looked up to see what the definition of scrutable was, because I don't think I've ever heard that. Capable of being deciphered. That's a roundabout connection to what we're back to the game, but just bad, all bad. If you're going to watch them, I recommend that you watch this once, possibly on fast forward. But man, we'll move on. There's oddly enough. Okay, as horrible as this episode was, if looking at it from design side. There's actually a ton of things that will be interesting cards, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, you got flying plant monsters for dilemmas. You've got
bats.
You got the bat things. You've got this this super tall guy who would be personnel. Maybe he's like, what do they give Keiko? Biology? what do they give for botany?
Sure.
Science and biology?
Biology.
So he could be some personnel.
Biology.
Or maybe he's some kind of leader of the one thing interesting, they talked about him being from the eugenics wars, so you can put Khan in his lore, and that's one more guy that can go in the Khan deck, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he had probably some connection with that original group.
Yep. Spock 2, can't forget about Spock 2. Giant
about
clone.
Clone your personnel and they're double all their stats, but they can't be moved by ship or shuttlecraft. They have to stay on the planet because they're too giant.
That'd be hilarious. Your whole deck strategy is to bring this clone machine. All right. Come over here, Kim. Ensign Kim, now you're 20 feet tall and all your skills are doubled, but we're going to leave you here. Sorry.
but now we'll promote you.
Yeah. You could be...
President Kim of the plant planet.
Sorry, there's no women here. All right, better luck next time. All right. Yeah. They even use mind meld, so that'd be,
that's right.
Another version of that.
That's inscrutably how they managed to save other Spock, because apparently cloning in this particular fashion almost or does kill the original host.
Yeah, but they're 20 feet tall. So, okay, that's the clone machine, right? You make somebody, you give them added strength, you double their skills, but they get a countdown icon, and they can never leave or something like that. All right.
Oh, man.
Again, all kinds of bad. We're going to talk about the next one next time. Let me scroll down here. What's next? Oh, no.
Oh, God. What is it?
The magics of Magos 2, and two is spelled T-U. Yeah. Oh my. Okay. All right. I'm not gonna read that until we watch the episode. But that is.
No. Let's do it. Save that for next week.
That's awful. All right. Okay. Thankful for the end of that. While we were talking, one of our agents sent some intel for me, and let's set the record straight. TV played Bajoran, right? JD played Equinox, and Charlie, who managed to fight the winning Romulan deck to a tie, played Five Space Voyager. So that's exactly the deck I was talking about.
Wow.
So that will be interesting to take a look. Well, maybe we'll get a deck posted and we can see what he played. And they indeed did play Tribbles, and apparently Matt creamed everyone. So we'll get some details on that at some point, hopefully.
All right.
I'd like to see if Trouble was played and how the Trouble played out, as it were.
Nice.
Okay.
But speaking of intelligence,
yes, we have.
We do also have a spoiler from the next set, which, if you have noticed, there is a new expansion icon on the splash page of trekcc.org.
Is that the multi-dimensional transporter device?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Or a version of it, which is, of course, indicative of crossover. So we have a new incident, it looks like, from that set. This is text only, so we're not going to bother sharing the screen because there's no image to show you, but we can read it off to you. It is called "You Can't Kill the Captain."
And do you think was that refresh memory? Is that a line from one of the crossover episodes, or maybe this is a playtest title?
It doesn't say it's a playtest title. Usually our intel will specify that.
Yeah.
But I don't recall.
I don't remember that line specifically.
I don't remember that line specifically either, but I do remember that, Sisko dying was a big issue in the Mirror Universe. So it may be a reference back to that. Or how, bringing in the captain. I don't know. Maybe it's Sisko returned. Alpha Sisko comes in. You can't kill the captain.
Yeah.
I have to look that up. But this incident plays on table. So it's not a seating incident. It's a playing incident. At the start of each of your turns, lots of icons. Deep Space Nine, Federation, Terran Empire personnel with the highest integrity, your choice of a tie, gains VIP until the end of your turn.
All right, so help me. You've played Terran Empire a lot more than I have. Are they short on VIPs?
Yes.
All right, well, there you
go. There is a significant dearth of VIPs. From this, they have to be blue. So I'm the top of my head, I'm going to say Smiley is the likeliest choice.
Yeah. All right, I have a line for you. We thought you were dead. You can't kill the captain. He's too ornery.
Ah, so it's Smiley talking about
all right.
Bringing
very good
back. Okay.
All right, so we can confirm, not a playtest title. Unlikely.
Unlikely.
All right.
So that's just the first part of it, though. So you play it, and you get your highest integrity fed Terran Empire, gets VIP till the end of the turn. But then when your DS9 Terran Empire personnel dies, any DS9 Terran Empire personnel dies, you may place them here. Those personnel here are not in play, so you can play them again. And then once each turn, you may discard a card from here to give one of your DS9 Terran Empire personnel any skill until the end of turn.
Wow. All right. The way that's worded, I'm guessing that's not a well-facing a dilemma kind of thing like you would get in 2E. So much like the other skill gains, you could do it at, in your execute orders phase as, okay, captain's going to, let's discard Mirror Sisko and this other person is going to gain a random skill. All right, that's neat. That's a nice little generic skill gain. Somebody has to have died.
I don't remember Sisko having all of these skills. Well, you don't remember correctly then.
Right.
Because I totally have these skills. Totally not from another parallel universe.
Any skill until the end of the turn. All right. Well, you can only do it once, so solving reunion is probably out. But, although, O'Brien does have Miracle Worker, so you can gain Cantankerousness and have Spock show up. That would be hilarious.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
All right. But, okay, never mind, because it's got to have a DS9 icon there. So unless we get a DS9 Spock, unlikely.
Unlikely.
Well, Spock, not Mr. Spock.
Right.
Okay, very good. That's interesting. I like it. Oh, and you got to tell them what the collector number is.
Of course. This is 31V.
Of course
so
it is.
So fill in because we got it. And that's why we picked it.
It is an incident, and there's no other information on here. Incidents usually don't have any kind of flavory text unless it's in italics in the middle of the text, so nothing there. And no image, right. So we have no idea what this is going to be, but I'm guessing probably Smiley being, celebrating the captain with a... I just imagine him saying that with a bottle of grog in his hand or something.
that does definitely sounds like, he's raising a toast next to the reluctant Alpha Sisko.
All right, so, okay, if you're playing this, you got to have the DS9 icon, so that limits all the TOS Terran Empire guys, right?
Right. Yeah, and that seems to be, the running theme. They're trying to limit you to one or the other to get things working.
No, it makes sense. We're going to get a big influx of Terran Empire folks, so it makes sense to have all their presence, that you get all the fun stuff only work if you play by the rules.
Right.
That sounds good to me. That sounds like how I've done it in the past.
I'm curious to see if there is a card that downloads this, because a lot of those play incidents are harder to get into play when you need them.
Yeah.
This feels more like a tent card that you wait until somebody special downloads it.
You definitely want to have this out before somebody dies, right?
Right.
And I'm going to guess in the Mirror Universe, there's going to be a lot of ways to die.
they do kill each other an awful lot.
I mean, not just dilemmas, though, because they kill each other for profit, right? This is Mirror Universe.
Exactly.
So maybe that's your combo. You use one of those things to kill people, and then you can use it to turn into skills later on.
Wow, I'm trying to remember if Art of Diplomacy says opponent's personnel. Well, look, I'll just discard this to kill my own guy and put him on. You can't kill the captain.
Wow. Do-ba-do-do, I'm looking right now. Our diplomacy says, true treachery when applied to kill one other personnel present. Nope, anybody. Just once each turn, put the instant out of play, and you've got probably at least two of them, maybe three if you're spending resources because, you got extra seed slots. Just start killing your guys, kill three, and then you got once per turn for the next three turns, you've got a random skill that you need to solve your mission. Yep. Neat.
That's totally, totally mirror thematic. They would totally kill their own guys.
You, Ensign Ricky.
Blah. Ah, crap.
Someone I have a second copy of in my hand. Blah. All right, very good. So we've covered the convention you went to. We covered the tournament that neither of us went to. We covered the show that neither of us wanted to watch. And we've got a spoiler that's coming out in a couple months, I'm guessing. Summer, it said. Did it say summer?
Well, it came up. Summer has been it. The tagline.
Summer 2015.
There's not a lot of summer left. As soon as we start seeing those teasers, though, that's usually a sign that spoilers are imminent, which then means release is imminent. So
maybe by the end of the month we'll see something.
Labor Day is usually the end of summer, you know, and that's late this year, so they could go into the first week of September and still squeak in.
All right, sounds good. All right, anything else before we wrap this up then?
I don't know. Hang on. Let me take a drink here.
Was that a rogue can of Coke?
It is. They had a special. See, I have enough. Drink
share,
enough so you
share
can actually
Coke with
see
rogue.
It.
Very good. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't someone else have that? Or someone shared that with you?
Oh, my wife shared that with me.
Was that at the convention they had make your own Cokes?
They had little machines that you could stand in line, and they had the little 7.5-ounce cans, and you could get two of them. And so you put in two names that you wanted, and they printed them out, and so you got to get whatever you wanted, as long as it was a first name and within, you know, a certain number of guidelines. But we're like, well, what are we going to get? Well, I go, this and that, and Caitlin's like, I can get a Caitlin on any Coke. I'm going to get these characters from the 100 that I ship. So she did that, and then the line was smaller because it was the end of the day, so we got back in line and got more characters from the 100 and entertained her. So, Now I have my own can, and I'm going to put it on my desk.
Yeah, nice. It sounds like you guys had a good time. I think we've got I think I'm going to be out this weekend. We've got another tournament coming up in not this Saturday, but the next Saturday. It'll be a 1E event, so hopefully
That's right. We
can all get together for some first edition Trek and some Troubles and Tribbles afterward. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right.
You're going to be out of town this weekend, you say?
This Saturday it's that time of year where random groups of people get together and draft fantasy football teams. And my former office, who all mostly got laid off and went their separate ways, are all getting back together again because we did this for like the last 3 years. We took over a conference room and had pizza delivered. So this year we're all going over to one of the guys' house up in Orange County, and we'll all have a draft and probably share stories about where we're working now since we're not working there anymore. Should be a good time.
Nice. Well, if you're free on Sunday, there is, at the Villainous Lair, gaming-related, a pre-release for the My Little Pony CCG expansion, Equestrian Odysseys, which I finally managed to convince a local card shop to host, so we don't have to drive to L.A. to go to one.
And it would be beneficial for you for as many people to show up as possible so that the game store sees, oh, look, this is popular. We should do this again.
Exactly.
I see. All right. Well,
anybody is in the area.
Yeah. All right.
It's at noon on Sunday.
Noon on Sunday is not bad. A couple hours over there and then head back.
Yeah. And it's a half hour round. Sealed deck is very quick. I played in one at Gen Con and it was less than 3 hours for five rounds. So,
all right. I'll mark my calendar. How's that?
I could not expect anything more.
All right. Let me actually physically mark my calendar here. While I do that, you can wrap up the show.
All right. Well, that is definitely all the intelligence we have this week. More intelligence, but more disparate. Next week, we'll have a report from the pre-release and hopefully some more spoilers for you, and definitely another episode of the animated series. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan, and I'm going to a glue tournament later on.
Glue. Oh, and I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will tap a pony to end.
Share.
You'll be double crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you.